Yo, yo, what's going on, good people? This is your boy, the ace that runs the place, one half of the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. Back at it again with another episode, man. It's been a minute. You know, I dropped the episode not that long ago. Y'all go check that out. The ace is back. The ace has returned from his long hiatus to come back and bless y'all with another episode. The franchise blessed y'all with an episode not that long ago. Like I said, right now, this is another ace solo, the franchise on the ones and twos. You know what I mean? The edited machine, the tribal podcast chief. You know what I mean? The man, the myth, the legend himself. You know, the franchise doing his thing on the ones and twos. Your boy, the ace, on MC tonight. You know, so, so there's a lot of things I wanted to talk about today in wrestling. Really, what I wanted to talk about today is just, like, my favorite things going on in wrestling, my favorite stories, my favorite groups, my favorite, just, you know, everything that I'm loving about the business right now. And one of the things I do want to talk about is one of my favorite things going on in AEW is the Adam Cole and MJF tag team is pure gold. These two have been, like, this has been the best thing since MJF has become champion. Now, let's say the beginning of MJF championship run was like, all right, cool. It was good. Then I felt like at some point kind of got like a little stale, you know what I mean? And like, he hasn't been champion that long. Like, he had the four pillars match where he won, where he successfully retained his title against Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara, the four pillars of AEW, the future of the wrestling business. Not just the AEW, just the wrestling business in whole. Then he had the match with Adam Cole, where then later he, he beat Adam Cole for the title. And, you know, so AEW started to have the, started the Blind Eliminator tag team tournament. So whoever wins this tournament becomes automatically gets a shot at the titles, the AEW tag team titles, which is held by FTR. Now, it's, I already seen the episode, Adam Cole, MJF won, they're gonna get title shots for the tag team titles in AEW. I honestly believe they might win it, but if they don't win it, it's gonna be because Adam Cole screws MJF. And this is gonna propel MJF to babyface status. Like, the way MJF has been acting and how his character has been since teaming up with Adam Cole. He already beat Adam Cole for the title. And when he first got announced that those two were gonna be tag team partners, MJF and Adam Cole did not like the idea of that working together. He's like, I just fought this dude for the title. I don't like this dude. They both don't like each other. They both are like, this is a bad idea. But then eventually, like I said, some of the promos, the video game stuff, the gym scene, like all this other stuff, these things that they're doing, the dance contest, like all this stuff, the double clothesline, the I'm better than you, baby, t-shirt, and all this stuff that they've been doing, it's just building up for them to, like, eventually, I feel like this is going to propel MJF into a face run. Now, I know MJF was like, for the longest, I think he didn't want to become a face, he wanted to stay being a heel. But I feel like with this current storyline that he has with Adam Cole, he's going to be propelled into a babyface role, which I think would be good. I think it'd be good for him. I think it'd be good for the company. You know what I mean? Like, you can only be like a heel. I don't know how many faces, baby faces, they really have in AEW like that. There's a couple of guys that he hasn't faced. MJF hasn't faced in AEW for while he is champion. I do believe at some point they're gonna have CM Punk and MJF fight for that title, seeing that CM Punk is like, I never lost the title, so I'm technically still the champion. But which, by the way, a lot of wrestlers can make that claim, like, I never lost the title, so therefore I'm still the champion. A lot of wrestlers through recent years can say that, You know, CM Punk saying that is just the one of many that have said that before in the past. But right now, like I said, that's one of my favorite things going on in AEW right now. That's really keeping to me my eyes on AEW. Like, I try to, you know, I watch AEW, I keep up, or if I don't watch it, I keep up on information, what's going on with the company and whatnot. Obviously, you know, they got the Blackpool Combat Club and versus the Elite. They got, you know, Jungle Boy versus Hook. They got, you know, Pat came back. They got the Aleister Black and Andrade feud, you know, coming back. You know, that old NXT feud, which I believe Andrade will beat Aleister Black or Malakai Black this time because they're not in WWE. I feel like when they were in WWE, Aleister Black never lost to Andrade. Like, as far as I see, like, on TV, pay-per-view, whatever like that, Andrade has always lost to Aleister Black. And I'm thinking, like, well, you know, Zelina is Aleister's wife. Zelina was managing Andrade at the time. So I think it was like, yo, you can't beat my husband. You can beat everybody else, but you can't beat my husband. So I think that was kind of like the deal that they had. But anyways, the MJF, Adam Cole situation is great. Like I said, I can see them winning the tag team titles. It going on, you know, kind of like this, you know, MJF being a double champion in AEW. I'm not sure if he'd be the first double champion. Because Kenny Omega had a couple titles, but don't worry, all AEW titles. That was the Impact title and the AAA Luchador title. Like, it was those titles. He had, like, three in the TNA. Well, I don't really count the TNA title. But he had the Impact World title, AEW Championship, and the AAA Championship. So I think MJF will be the first double AEW champion. If this happens, and I think this will be Adam Cole's first gold piece of gold in AEW. And I can see them going on a little run, you know, for a minute. Now, MJF might not have to defend the title, his title, but he could defend the tag team titles and also the stuff like that. Roddy can get it, you know, Roderick Strong can get involved. It's so much stuff they can do with that storyline to propel. And every moment you think like Adam Cole is going to turn on MJF or MJF might turn on Adam Cole or whatever like that, they could just stretch that storyline for a good while. This could be one of the best storylines that AEW has had in quite some time. So it'd be interesting to see that going on. Another good thing going on in AEW right now, what I want to talk about, one of my favorite things is going on, is the anticipation for AEW All In at Wembley. A lot of fans, a lot of people are looking for AEW to sell out Wembley. And it looks like AEW is going to sell out Wembley. And I don't even think they announced any matches yet for AEW All In and in London. And this is going to be the London takeover in AEW. WWE was just in London at the O2 Arena promoting, you know, trying to pitch, you know, possibly getting, you know, WrestleMania in London, which I think will happen. It's like, there's a lot of arenas. They were saying there are a lot of places other than Wembley. I think Wembley will be the most likely spot. But it was like there's other places in there's other big stadiums in London for them to have the WrestleMania in London, but I think it's gonna happen. I think that'll be a great weekend in WWE for WWE and wrestling, just to have them, you know, that company there for the whole weekend for WrestleMania weekend. But right now AEW, right now is like, I guess, the first to really crack it open. Right now, like I said, no matches have been announced. AEW has, you know, like I said, the tickets are selling. And this would be the biggest show that AEW has had in its history so far in the 4 or 5 years that AEW has been in business. So that's great for AEW. That's such a big deal for another American company other than the WWE to have a show outside of the States that's selling, like, you know, that could sell out these big arenas. Like, obviously, WWE has been doing it, especially since this year with all the PLEs in Mexico and, like I said, in London and like Saudi Arabia and all this other stuff like that. Like another place that I think it was like Scotland or England. It was another overseas one. They've been selling out arenas and stuff like that globally. But right now, it's like AEW is trying to get their foot into that and have Wembley to sell out Wembley, your first major international pay-per-view, to sell it out in Wembley, in London, and you're only a five-year-old company is fucking impressive. I don't care what nobody says. I mean, there's a lot of WWE marks that would be like, oh, man, you know, don't shit on AEW. And there's other people, you know, the people that shit on, like, oh, whatever. But it's like, dude, that's impressive. You have to give credit where credit is due. For them to pull something like this off within 4 to 5 years is incredible. Like, podcasts that me and the franchise have done, I talked about how I felt like AEW could sell out an arena. I think AEW could have sold out, you know, Tony Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, him and his father own the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I felt like they could have sold out that arena. They could have sold out the football stadium where the Jacksonville Jaguars play it. I think they could have did that. You know, they could have, you know, and I felt like they could have competed with WrestleMania weekend. You know, even though WrestleMania is a two-night event, I don't think AEW will go 2 nights. The LEW will probably go 1 night or whatever like that. But I think I can see it happening. You got the facility. You got the talent, you know what I mean? You got enough talent, you can have a good, you know what I mean? Now, they, like I said, now they got ROH and all this other stuff like that. So they can make it work. I genuinely felt like AEW could have made that work if they wanted to do something like that. But now they're having this show in London. And like I said, they're selling out tickets to be the first one for hopefully one of many for AEW. Is there anything else going on with the company that I'm excited about? I mean, I hear about Warner Brothers Discovery is looking at, you know, looking to work with AEW as far as, like, you know, maybe some streaming, maybe possible streaming service. I hear talks about maybe adding more pay-per-views. Obviously, just you know, anything right now, like I said, AEW is on the right track right now with everything going on, and you know, they added another show, Collision. So now, you know, AEW is up to 3 shows. You know, Dynamite, Rampage, which is Rampage is just an extension of Dynamite, and then you have Collision. So, you know, right now, you know, things are looking good for the second company, for the alternative to the WWE. So, speaking of WWE, one of my favorite things going on right now in the WWE, one of my many favorite things going on in the WWE right now, is the Alpha Academy. More so, Maxxine Dupri. She has been killing it. She has been a great addition to this team, to this faction. Like her, and they got Otis back to being, you know, Otis that we all know and love, that we all fell in love with. Chad Gable has been incredible. You know, a lot of people has been pushing for, or just cheering for Chad Gable to, you know, get a solo push, a singles push, or get a singles title. He already been, you know, multiple tag team titles in WWE, NXT title, I believe Raw tag team title. You know, one with Alpha Academy, and I believe, you know, was it American Alphas? Was him and Jason Jordan and something like that when he was an NXT champion? Like I said, like there's, you know, the United States Championship sitting with Austin Theory, Gunther, the Intercontinental Champion, that would be a great story for Chad Gable to beat Gunther, the Chad Gable, the American, you know, Olympian, small guy, undersized, going up against the likes of a Gunther. You know what I mean? The story pretty much writes itself right there. You know what I mean? The little engine that could, David versus Goliath, beating Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship, bringing it back to America, bringing it back to the States. You know what I mean? That'll be something great. You also, like I said, the United States title with Austin Theory is pretty much nobody's, you know, Austin Theory's kind of lost his momentum. You know what I mean? Him beating Cena didn't really do anything. So, you know, right now, Austin Theory's sitting with the United States title. They're probably gonna, you know, I can see them putting that on LA Knight, making him, you know, the new United States champion, you know, further along, pushing that title, making that title more relevant again. But like I said, Chad Gable has been great. Otis has been great. But Maxxine Dupri has been a great addition to this crew. Her whole, like, it's like a complete 360 with Maxxine Dupri joining the Alpha Academy. Because when she was with the Maximum Male Models, she wasn't really... You know, her personality was just more like kind of like, the, you know, the diva, the pretty, you know, the real pretty bossy kind of chick. You know what I'm saying? Very sexy, very attractive, long legs, baddie. You know what I mean? With those two guys, but those guys were constantly losing. You know what I mean? And if then, you know, they had the Otis situation where when he was trying to, you know, possibly split up Otis and Chad Gable, but, you know, instead of that happening, they just took Maxxine away from the Maximum Male Models and put her on Alpha Academy, and she just, you know, incorporated herself into that whole thing. Now, you know, you see her personality differently, you know what I mean? She's, you know, more funny, you know, the training videos, her, you know, training, getting her feet wet in wrestling, her, their feud right now with the Viking Raiders. It's been okay, you know, nothing great, you know, but like I said, you know, that's pretty much who they paired up with right now, and she's been going, you know, kind of going back and forth with Valhalla, aka Sarah Logan, also known as Sarah Logan, and, you know, she's been doing great. You know, one of my favorite things that had happened recently with Maxxine Dupri was more so because of what Corey Graves had said. And this was when I believed he had the triple threat mixed tag team match. And Maxxine Dupri got the hot tag. She went in there, did a couple of moves on Valhalla, hit Valhalla with a splash in the corner. Valhalla's down. Maxine's standing there looking like, okay, what do I do next? And Otis was like, Maxxine, do the worm, baby. And Maxxine just starts shaking. She's like gyrating crazy, right? And Corey Graves said, he's like, I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind right now, KP, and I don't know how to feel. And KP was like, I'm right there with you, brother. And I was, it was just so funny, Corey saying that, because I was like, yo, Maxxine, it looked like Maxxine was twerking. You know what I mean? She wasn't twerking, but it looked like, it, you know, in your mind, she's just shaking. You know what I mean? She just gyrating and whatever like that. And you're just kind of like, you know, I mean, they got a better view than I got on the TV. You know what I mean? You're looking at this woman up close and she's like, you know, she a baddie. And she just gyrating and whatever like that. Yo, you're like, yo, what's going on? You know what I mean? What's going on? So, and, you know, that's been great. Like I said, right now, Alpha Academy, right now is one of the best things going on in WWE right now. That crew is great. That crew is great together. I love them. You know, I heard, you know, it would be cool to see them feud with Maximum. I'm surprised they haven't did that. Them feuding with the Maximum Male Models makes sense, which I don't understand why they never did that. But we can see that in the near future. We can see that in the near future with both of them. You know, I heard the Maximum Models were getting a redo, a makeover. Seeing their models, so they can get a makeover. Another great thing that's going on in the world of wrestling, this is outside of WWE right now, we got to step out of WWE. Trinity Fatu, the wife, the lovely wife of Jimmy Uso, of the Usos, made her debut in Impact Wrestling not that long ago. And usually how it goes when talent from WWE goes to Impact, they usually win a title. It's not that long until that talent from WWE goes on to Impact and they usually become a champion, right? Or, you know, I think it happened to AEW for a little while. You know, a couple people left and, you know, left WWE with the AEW. Won a title. I don't think it's that many people. But I know at least a few, I think, left and became champion. But Trinity Fatu, like I said, she left WWE. She's one of the most gifted athletes, male or female, in that ring, bar none, to ever grace the ring. You know, the fact that she left WWE is absurd. The fact that she got released is absurd. You know what I mean? For her and Sasha Banks to walk out of the WWE is insane. It's freaking insane. And I always felt like Naomi never really got her shot at being a champion long term. Like, I'm talking about having a good, decent run. Because she got so many moves. Like, almost having a Bianca-esque tight run. Bianca run was something special. Bianca had a great run. Could Naomi have had a run similar to that? Possibly. It's possible. Because she's almost just as athletic as Bianca. Hell, we could have had a Bianca versus Naomi match for the title. You know what I mean? But I don't think that did happen. You know, and I believe, you know, passing the torch from Sasha to Bianca was a good move. Going from Sasha to Bianca was a great move, a great pay-per-view, a great main event for WWE, a great moment for black women, black athletes, black wrestlers, for wrestling, period. You know what I mean? A great moment. But Trinity for two, going to Impact, beating Deonna Purrazzo for the Impact Championship at Slammiversary. Man, we knew that was going to happen. We knew that was going to happen. We knew she was going to lose to Naomi, you know, and then now Naomi's the one-time Impact Championship. Right now, Naomi's accomplishments is looking like, I believe, one-time tag team champion with Sasha Banks, two-time SmackDown Women Champion. I believe she won one of those Royal Rumbles or something like that, like the Andre the Giant Royal Rumble for like the women's or something like that. But either way, like I said, two-time SmackDown champion, women's tag team champion, Impact Championship. I believe they said she's the fourth woman in WWE to leave or get cut, whatever, from WWE to go to Impact to win the title. It's her, Mickie James, Victoria, and Gail Kim. That's not a bad roster. That's not a bad roster of women to you know, Gail Kim, legend in AEW, I mean, Impact Wrestling. Victoria, legend in the wrestling business. You know what I mean? Mickie James, obviously, Mickie James, the GOAT. One of the GOATs in wrestling, women wrestling, just relics in wrestling, period. One of the GOATs. How could you not love Mickie James? Trish Stratus 2.0. I think low key, Mickie James might got Trish Stratus. Just career-wise, Mickie James got her. Mickie just as bad as Trish Stratus. Just as attractive, but success in that ring. And also, like I said, to go to another company and build that company up and reinvent yourself, Hardcore Country, all that stuff, dropping albums and shit. Like, you know, Mickie James is the fucking truth. Let's just put that out there. But Naomi, congratulations, Naomi. Congratulations to the GLOW winning the Impact Women's Championship. Congratulations to her. Like I said, speaking of the Fatu family, the bloodline, man, I saw an interview where Jimmy and Jay, they were asked by Chris Van Velt, I believe his name is, and he was asked about, did they ever discuss about having a match at WrestleMania, them two splitting to having a match at WrestleMania? And Jay and Jimmy were both like, yo, that's our dream. That's something that we've pitched, that they never pitched to us, but we've been talking about, like, that's what we want to do. We want to have a match. Like, basically, like, involved all our family. We want, like, our father as the referee. Like, they want the family there for that moment. He was like, that's what they always wanted since being kids. At WrestleMania, those two going at it, not for no title, just for respect. You know what I mean? Just for respect, for, like, you know, big brother versus little brother, twins. We both the Usos. You know what I mean? They couldn't tell us apart, but now, you know, like I said, due to Jimmy's injury in the past and Jay stepping up, now you can see the difference. You can see this is Jey Uso, this is Jimmy Uso, and like this, and I think I could see that happening in the near future with the Bloodline, with the Bloodline story. I believe the Bloodline, even with the Bloodline not being together, it's still gonna be a Bloodline storyline going on, because like I said, you could have, you know, Solo, you know, feuding with Roman, you know what I mean, for the title. You could have Jimmy and Jey having a conflict with each other, you know, Jimmy being taken out, you know, being taken out by the Bloodline, and sitting there kind of like, well, maybe, you know, maybe thinking to himself like, only did, like, I got took out because of you. They chose you. They wanted you to be the tribal chief. Like, I was like, having that big brother jealousy of like, you know, now I'm the big brother. I'm supposed to be the one. I'm supposed to be the tribal chief. I'm supposed to be next up. Like, not you. You little bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You little bro, Solo, little bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to have that spot. And not even Jimmy joining Roman. Like, it doesn't have to be Jimmy siding with Roman. It doesn't have to be Jimmy, you know, joining the and Jey be on the island by himself. Or it could be, like, say, Jey and Sammy and KO link up to face them. You know what I mean? It could just be just this feud amongst the those guys, you know, the brothers and the cousin and whatnot, but I kind of feel like they're all like brothers, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, Roman, Jey, and Jimmy are like brothers, because they grew up most together, and they're about like the same age. Solo, I say, is, like I said, is a few years younger than all them, but like I said, Roman, Jey, and Jimmy got like, it's like a brotherly bond. So, you know, like I said, Jimmy screwing Jey at SummerSlam. Like, I believe Jey is going to get close. This is going to be the closest we see Jey Uso beating Roman Reigns for the title. Jimmy go come back. And Jimmy, for whatever reason, like I said, because it would be jealousy, but whatever. Like, I'm not joining Roman. I'm not joining Roman to reform the Bloodline or whatever the case is, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing this because I'm like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to protect my little brother, because he don't need to be the tribal chief. I need to be the tribal chief. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be the tribal, because I'm big bro. Like, I know what's best for us, you know? And Jey could be like, yo, it's not us anymore. It's Jey, main event Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. Like, I'm my own person. I'm my own man. Respect that. And them two just carry this feud out, possibly to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Because we got SummerSlam, so you got that. Then what's the next pay-per-view after that? I believe it's like
Payback, Fastlane, Survivor Series is next. Payback in Pittsburgh, Fastlane in Indianapolis. Survivor Series in Chicago, that's going to be a great fucking show. That's going to be a great show. But, let's say November.
I think December is not a pay-per-view. I think January is the Rumble. Then we back in WrestleMania season. You know what I mean? So we can see that happen. I can see that happening. I don't know who going to win the Rumble. I think it's Elimination Chamber. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, it's a lot of, yeah, it's plenty of time. Plenty of time to stretch the storyline out. And then obviously too, you got Cody, you know, the possibility, you know what I'm saying, them still going with the Cody Roman Reigns rematch at WrestleMania in Philadelphia for the gold, you know, Cody finishing the story. It's a lot, man. It's a lot going on with that storyline. And then we possibly will end that chapter of the Bloodline and Cody and none of the other stuff like that. And then we go into whatever, the next phase, the next set of storylines into the next year. Like I said, like, you know, they're talking about Roman going to a baby phase and changing his music, and he got so much shit going on. I don't even know what's going on. Oh, another great thing, like I said, WWE got some good factions going on right now. And one of my favorite factions right now, say this faction that started off kind of rough, but right now they're picking up momentum. Right now, the Judgment Day and the guy that I hated, the franchise, y'all guys, go back and look at previous episodes, videos on YouTube or on, you know, whatever listening platform that you listen to the podcast. I hated Dominic Mysterio with the passion. I hated him. I just thought, like, yo, he sucked. He not that good in the ring. Like, Rey Mysterio should be ashamed that this is his son. Like, dude, like, you was not that dude in the ring. But then off there, just the him joining Judgment Day, him and Rhea Ripley being together, him changing his whole character, him fake, you know, going to jail, ex-con Dom, and, you know, and all this other stuff like that. Now, you know, they call him Dirty Dom. And all this stuff, they got all this stuff. It is like, it's so fucking hilarious, bro. Like, it's like, I just love it. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, Dominic Mysterio is the most hated superstar in the WWE. Every time he gets his opportunity to speak on the mic, the fans just lose their shit and just go off on this dude. Like, they hate his guts. He is the most hated. I don't remember a wrestler where the soon as he gets the mic, as soon as he's about to speak, the fans just boo him out the arena. Now, there's different levels of boos. They boo this man so loud. I don't know if they pumping the sound, whatever, but the boos sound so fucking loud when it's Dominic Mysterio turned to speak on the Judgment Day. He is the most hated one in the group. But right now, like I said, you got Rhea Ripley. She's the new women's, I think, world heavyweight champion. She got the gold. Damian Priest, Senior, Mr. Money in the Bank, he got that. You know, Finn Balor's still there. Dom just won the North American Championship. It's like, dude, like, Judgment Day right now is winning. And all the heel factions always win all the titles. So we could possibly see Finn Balor or Damian Priest win a title in the near future. Like, it could possibly happen. You know, Damian Priest has been putting in work. You know, he kind of reminds me, like, his outfit kind of reminds me of Undertaker-ish. He got a little Undertaker, little vibe to him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I think they called him a sexy Latino, like Undertaker. Like, you know, Senior Undertaker. You know, he got that vibe with him. You know what I mean? He's tall. He can move. You know, he's good. He's good. He's came a long way since joining the Judgment Day and stuff. Right, and like I said, right now they're the most popular group. They're one of the most popular right now with the Bloodline situation going on right now. I think they're the top group. They're the top heel group. But there could be a heel group coming right behind them. That could be. I mean, it could be this could be a good faction or a bad faction. I don't know. This could be a heel babyface faction. I don't know. Bobby Lashley working with the Street Profits to form possibly the new version of the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business 2.0. And obviously, you got to bring back MVP. You got to bring back MVP. MVP on the mic with Montez Ford on the mic. Those two right there would kill it. And then this could possibly lead to Montez Ford getting that solo push that we all look forward to. We all know that Montez Ford has the star quality. He has the charisma, the swag, the rock-like charisma to be the man in the company. There's so much going. Like I said, there's so many other superstars that's right now at that spot, but Montez Ford, who's new, never really got the opportunity. I mean, he had a couple matches with Rome. He had a match with Rome. He had a match with Seth Rollins. He's proven that he's capable of going one-on-one, putting on bangers with some of the best in this business. I think Montez Ford, this is going to be an opportunity for Montez Ford to get that push. Bobby's older. You know, the ageless wonder. Bobby still looks the same from when he first debuted in the WWE, but Bobby's older. You know, Dawkins is no joke. Dawkins can fucking wrestle. Dawkins is also very talented in that ring, but everybody is looking at Montez for it. Like, this is Montez. This could be Montez's opportunity to really step into that spotlight and be the superstar that we all think he could possibly be. And speaking of superstars, superstars, guys that have just carried, that just got, like, they don't need a title to validate how they're the man or they're the woman or they're that person in the business right now. And that's L.A. Knight. Yeah. L.A. Knight. I'll call L.A. Knight the White Rock because he got that rock swagger. You know what I mean? He got that rock. So he's, like I said, he's a mix of, like, he kind of got a rock / Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of vibe to him a little bit. Great on the mic. You know, he's always been, you know, he always had a great mic skill. So, you know, from the Impact days, I remember in the NWA and, you know, saying when he was on NXT, which I think he shouldn't even, when he got called up, he shouldn't have went to, like, straight to NXT. He shouldn't have just went straight to the main roster. Like, LA Knight was good enough to just go straight to the main roster, dude. You good enough, bro. You know what I mean? But they had him on NXT for a short, great in NXT, came to the main roster. They tried the, you know, Max Dupree character with him and the Maximum Male Models and Maxine Dupree. And he, you know what I mean? It didn't work out. He went back to his LA Knight character. And he's just been one of the hottest superstars right now in the WWE. Right now, like I said, I can see him winning the United States Championship from Austin Theory, getting that title back to being, having some sort of relevancy. Right now, the Intercontinental title is pretty relevant. The World Heavyweight Championship that Seth has is pretty, you know, relevant. Most of the titles, probably except for the women's tag team title, is very relevant right now on the main roster. I would say the United States title and the women's tag team titles are the two most irrelevant titles. And they get, like, Austin Theory ain't getting no burn. And the tag team titles, the women's tag team titles get passed around like hotcakes. So, you know, that's pretty much it for those two titles right there. But those, like I said, championships could use some work. So, like I said, we can see that possibly happening in the near future. LA Knight becoming a champion. And, you know, like I said, Kerry, you know, keep on going with this hot streak that he has going on in WWE. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in AEW. I talked a lot about WWE. I had a couple of things about AEW. Talked about, you know, Impact a little bit. I'm trying to think else going on in AEW. I saw people complain about AEW, they keep having shows in Chicago. Like, Chicago is a place they always go to. Like, well, the only reason they go to Chicago is for CM Punk, and that's not in third. One thing about it, Chicago is one of the best places for wrestling. They're one of the best cities for wrestling. You know, me and the franchise had a conversation about that, I believe, on the podcast. Or it was either on the podcast or, like, just, like, regular conversations about, like, the best cities and the best wrestling cities. And, like I said, Chicago is one of them, you know. And Chicago is a place that, AEW goes. I mean, to me, I feel like it's good business. You know, you're going to go to a place where you know you're going to sell out tickets. Chicago, I did. No, they got mad arenas. Apparently, like, Chicago's a big fucking city. And then you got the United Center. You got all these, you know, they got different, you know, places, different venues for wrestling. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like WWE always going to Saudi Arabia. Kind of, you know what I mean? They stay, like, they got all these, they got a lot of these pay-per-views that be in Saudi Arabia. Crown Jewel and, you know, all this other stuff like that. You know what I mean? They got Crown Jewel in America. You got Crown Jewel in fucking Texas. L.A. maybe, you know, Florida, you know what I mean? You got other places you could possibly have Crown Jewel, but Crown Jewel is in Saudi Arabia. They got a lot of shows in Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think for a while, a lot of people wasn't feeling that. Like, they was like, yo, man, why you having all these shows? Oh, but like, it's for the money. This is what the people, this is good for business. This is, these people want it. It's, you know, it's a good, you know what I'm saying? It's a good experience for the wrestlers and this, that, and the third. It's good business. You know what I'm saying? You want, and I think also too with AEW being a new company, you know, you're gonna go to places that you know you're gonna sell out tickets. Double or Nothing is always in Vegas. All Out is always in Chicago. All Out is usually always in Chicago. AEW usually just had, yeah, they have shows, a lot of shows, their shows are in Chicago. Chicago is a great wrestling town. You know, they haven't been to, like, a lot of cities in the States. Like, they've been to some, but now they got two shows. So we can see maybe, you know, they're going to go to, you know, they haven't been to Jacksonville. They haven't been to Jacksonville in a minute. They haven't been to Daisy's Place, the place that they usually been having. Like, they usually have their events in Florida, in Jacksonville. They haven't had a show, in Jacksonville in a minute. You know, and that's home base. And they haven't had a show there for a minute. So I'm just like, yo, man, I look at it, it's like, yo, man, it's good for business, man. Like, you know, I saw, like I said, people complain about it. But like I said, it's good for business. It's right after, they got a show right after All In. After All In, it's All Out. And it's in Chicago, and he sold out. Like, that's good fucking business. If that was anywhere else, if that was the WWE did some shit like that, people would be, the WWE fans would be losing their fucking mind. They'll be like, oh, see, this is why WWE is superior to everybody. It's superior to the competition. That's the deal we fucking saying. But, you know what I mean? That's like I said, man, let them be. Let them have, listen, if they want to have shows in Chicago for the rest of the fucking year, let them do it, man. That's their fucking business, man. If that's what's going to make them money and keep them successful, then, I mean, we should be all for it. I mean, like I said, Impact has shows, like, their base is, like, what, Nashville? You know, most of their, like, a lot of their shows be filmed in Nashville or something like that. You know, you're not going to trip about that because, well, Impact's a smaller company, but it's, like, still, you know what I mean? Like, you know, move around. You know, but like, whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, NXT always got these shows in the Performance Center in Florida. You know, move around a little bit. You know, but, you know, they always had this stuff before. You can't get mad about that. It's just, like I said, it's a small, intimate joint. It's right there, Performance Center. You know, a lot of the wrestlers live in fucking Florida. Let them be. Let them be, man. Let the people be, man. Let AEW have theirs, man. You know what I mean? Start complaining. Let the company be. I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast. You know, like I said, it's your boy, the ace that runs the place, one half of the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. Like I said, the franchise on the ones and twos. Check us out on Instagram. It's RCW_podcast. That's the IG account and all streaming services. Type in Royal Club Wrestling Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. We also on YouTube. I believe you can type in Royal Club Wrestling, or if not, you can type in Charles Gilbert, and he has a video. He has most of the YouTube videos that we have done on his channel for Royal Club, you know what I mean? So, you know, you can check that out. Like I said, man, I'm the ace that runs the place. You guys be easy, stay safe, and you know what I'm saying? We doing what's best for business. It's the Royal Club. We are out. Peace.